Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in. We're here tonight, and we're going to be talking about the difference between making love and having sex. And so we are on the air with Dr. Pat Allen.
Hello.
Dr. Pat, we're going to talk tonight about making love and having sex. What's the difference? Is there a difference at all?
Yeah, there's a difference. People that are absolutely committed to having sex rarely make love. People who make love periodically have sex. Sex is basically a physical gratification system. It does not need, you don't need to be in love. It's hooking up. That's the new term for it.
So hooking up. Okay, so you go out to a bar and you find guy A, and, you know,
he says, your place or mine.
That's it, your place or mine.
That's pretty much so. Now, the problem with this is men and women are different because, for example, young men are really built to enjoy sex.
Procreate, right?
What?
They're biologically programmed.
They just want to have sex because it feels good. And they may like you, they may not like you, they may want something to go on in the relationship. But women, young women especially, premenopausal women, are subject to bonding.
Okay. Now, bonding. Let me ask you a question.
What?
You see all these shows, like young college girls, and they're pulling up their tops, and they're out on the town in spring break. Are they just out having fun? Are they bonding inadvertently?
They're newfound toys, remember. Those boobs have just been growing recently.
Right.
And so they're kind of like new toys. And they do comparison shopping, the girls and the boys.
Right.
You know, and you know what men do. It's how big is your penis?
Right.
You know. So that's the commercial aspect. Not necessarily I'll pay for whatever. But that's part of the business of sex. Business. But sex is hedonistically gratifying. Now, what's hedonism? Hedonism is doing what you want to do because it physically feels good. Making love is very, very stoic.
Okay.
And
so what does that mean?
Is satisfying. What?
What does that mean exactly? It's stoic.
I want to refer a book, and it was done as a spiritual diary by Marcus Aurelius, who was an emperor and a warrior in the golden age of Rome,
right,
basically. But he was a very spiritual man, and he wrote the Meditations.
Right.
But now there's the spiritual teachings of Marcus Aurelius. They're edited by Forstater. I like that one.
Okay.
It's very simple, good English. I don't know if it's in other languages, but I'm going for English. Anyway, it's about delaying your gratification in order to live a more satisfying life. Now, gratification is body-centered.
Okay.
Whereas satisfaction is mind, body, and spirit part of us, the human part of us. See, animals are wonderful little lovers, and they're wonderful little animals, but they don't have the spiritual quality that we humans have. Now, what is the spiritual quality? It's good and evil.
Okay.
We can use and we can misuse every piece of our body, every part of our life. And if we're hedonistic, we are going to do it for physical gratification. More money, more power, more sex, more food, more drink, more everything. Okay? So when you're hedonistic, you're trying to get as much gratification into your life in order to resolve the tension of not living a satisfying life. See, a satisfying life is moral, it's ethical, it's legal.
Okay.
You know, and governments are set up in order to validate legality. And sometimes even governments do stupid things with legality. But in order to be a Stoic, you don't just shoot the cops. What you do is you vote.
Right.
You do the Stoic, legal, moral, ethical behavior. Now, when you're hedonistic, you don't consider that. You just, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna rape you. I'm gonna rob you. That's part of the Stoic. That's part of the hedonistic world of self gratification. So, that would be
self pleasure. It wouldn't matter what the pleasure was for anybody else. So that is
no. You'd probably perform. Every woman listening knows when a man is having sex with her, or when he's making love to her.
That's an excellent thing. We have a caller. You want to take a call?
Yeah.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I'm sorry, wrong number.
Oh.
Fantastic. Thank you for calling. Anyway.
That was not only not the 15 minutes of fame, that was about 30 seconds.
That was 30 seconds of
which
fame.
Which is okay.
Okay, so here's the question I have. I have a dear friend, and he said everything
dear friend,
about...
male?
It's a male.
What age?
51.
51.
Yeah. He said, everything is about sex except for sex.
Everything is about sex except
for
sex? Yeah,
everything. Money, power, fame, all of that. It's all about sex except for sex. Like, so we were talking today about it.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I think I understand what you're saying. And I told him you needed to tune in tonight to the show. So is it okay to be partially hedonistic? Can you...
Honey, I said in the beginning, mm-hmm. I said hedonistic people rarely make love because they're almost entirely into gratification. Stoic people are into making love and periodically going wild as a toy, as an enjoyment.
Okay.
Now, making love includes chemistry.
Okay.
Compatibility. In other words, and I love here in Los Angeles, we're doing the new legislation on the campuses where no is no and yes is yes. And
yes.
You better honor it.
You better honor
okay.
it, definitely.
Well, so there's chemistry, which I can't do anything about. That's pheromone exchange, DNA, you know, that's nature doing its thing.
Right.
And by the way, we are not monogamous by nature. We are a polyamorous species, men just a little bit more polyamorous than women, do you see?
Yes.
But we're all that. And there's a wonderful book by Barish, and it's called, The Myth, M-Y-T-H, The Myth of Monogamy.
Okay.
And then somebody says, well, emperor penguins are monogamous one season.
Yeah, they you forgot the fine print there
so
one season.
So you've got chemistry, which is nature given. I totally adore couples with chemistry, even though they may be screaming and fighting and having fits and affairs and everything else. I know that nature wants them to be together, as long as they're moral, ethical, and legal. Do you see?
Yeah, that's then, interesting. My question would be, okay, you say fake beta, but you can't really fake chemistry. I mean, you can't fake chemistry.
No, you can't fake it. And like I said, men's bodies tell them, you know, when they're under 50,
right, it's,
that they're excited.
Right.
But men's bodies, you know, the saddest thing is men that are totally committed to sex, they have erectile dysfunction between 45 and 50. 50% of penises don't work after 50 because the people that own those penises are trying to have sex, which is a stimulant gratification system whereas making love is chemistry, compatibility, and communication. And there's two forms of communication, talk and touch. Eric Byrne wrote a great, funny book, and it's called Sex in Human Loving. I'm teaching it now in my school, the One Institute, to my third-year students. And it is so humorous and so profound that it's really a resource for me in the subject of sexuality. So having sex is pretty much neck down. Making love is the whole body.
The
mind, the body, and the spirit. And the spirit is good or evil. There's a wonderful book out there, and it's called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, famous for his book Think and Grow Rich, way back with the Rockefellers and the whatevers.
Right.
But his family didn't like the spiritual book.
Oh.
So they hid it away. It was written in 1938, same time that Think and Grow Rich was written.
Right.
But they hid it away until a wonderful lady who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Learner, Lecturer, I don't know, but it begins with an L. Anyway, she got the family to give her the rights to publish the book, Outwitting the Devil. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about this lady, and I wish I could remember the name totally, but she wrote...
Right.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, so go find it.
Okay.
Begins with an L. Anyway, she did not change a word of Napoleon Hill's writing. She just put in her blogs in the book.
All right.
So it's pure Napoleon Hill, but on a spiritual level.
Oh, okay. I have to get that one.
Yeah, that is
so find out what that one is
good. So between Eric Byrne's book, Sex in Human Loving,
right,
where he compares sex and making love is a whole. Paraplegics can make love.
Okay, so when we're talking about making love, we're not necessarily talking about sexual intercourse, are we?
No, we're talking about everything you taste, everything you touch, everything you smell, everything you look at, and everything you listen to, which vibrates through your body. Tantric yoga,
right.
Thrustless sex, that's tantric yoga.
Okay.
I want to do a little commercial for Dawn Cartwright in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I refer my formerly inoperable but negotiating a better marriage couples to her,
right,
so that she can get their bodies into communication again.
Now, if you find somebody that you have chemistry with, and you're compatible with, and you communicate with,
well, communication is monogamy, continuity, and longevity.
Okay, so what happens when you have the first two, but you're not sure you have the third one?
If you don't have the third one, you're the fighting Bickersons, remember?
Yeah.
If you have chemistry and compatibility, you're the fighting Bickersons. If you have chemistry and communication, you're negotiating a trick or a love affair, mistress,
right.
You see, mm-hmm. Sugar daddy and gold digger.
Right.
If you've got compatibility and communication, you're friends.
Okay.
Those are the people that do well in arranged marriages. They do well in companionate relationships.
Okay.
And they do very well in green card solicitation.
Oh, okay. I get that. So we have some email questions, and one of them is, we used to have incredible sex, and we've been together 4 years, and now our sex life is vanilla pudding.
I got news for you. They've even gotten one benefit year. A sexual relationship is good for 3 years.
Only three.
3 years. The first year is infatuation.
Okay.
Ooh. Taste, touch, smell, see, and hear.
Okay.
The second year is plateau enjoyment. Plateau.
Okay.
The third year is boring.
Uh-oh. Does it have to be that way? What can you do to make it not be that way?
Acknowledge that you're not in love and that you're really just companions. And probably, I have women finding women for their husbands because the relationship is friendship. Do you see?
Yeah.
And gay relationships are very, very, very commonly will go from 3 years of sexual fun to companionate or nothing at all, or bringing outsiders in order to bring the curiosity and diversification back.
Okay. I
can
see.
People that have sex want diversification. So they have to keep changing, whether it's partners or adding or swinging, or they have to keep upping the hedonistic gratification.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So then, essentially, is that relationship done for? It's
no.
Like there's no more sex anymore, so it's just over, or what happens?
I just said it. They add little kinks and tweaks.
But if they're not good with bringing in outside forces, where does the relationship go?
It goes into if they've managed to have a kid or two, you know.
Right.
Or they've managed to acquire a fortune or something, they'll stay together and have an open relationship where they get the diversity. We mammals are very needing of diversification unless we're making love. If you're making love, you are building things. You're building families, you're building businesses, you're building like Bill and Mel, whatever, Gates. They're building philanthropy. They're helping people be better on the planet.
So some people might say that having sex is exciting, but making love is dull. Would you consider that to be the case?
No. Making love, every touch, every taste, every smell, every sight, every hearing. It was so wonderful. I once bought a house in Cathedral City, and it was owned, you know, by a little old couple
right.
from Boston with the accent. She was a cute little spunky thing, and he was an ex-gorgeous hunk of man who turned that house into a housewife's dream, you know, roll out drawers and everything.
All the things a woman could want.
Weird thing. In the bathroom, it had the fuzzy glass windows, but it had like shingles outside, like racks of wood. And I said, "What's that for?" And he said, "Well, you know, the guy next door is going to look in this window when she takes a shower." And I'm not letting it happen.
Fantastic.
Got it? And she was smiling. Because what I want you to know is that making love is for life.
Okay.
Okay, I am 80 years old, and my boyfriend is 85.
Right.
And we have been so lucky to find each other, do you see?
Yes.
Because bodies, mind, and spirit all come together. He's an alpha, I'm an alpha. It's wonderful, do you see?
Yeah, I do.
And we've been together 5 years, and my last boyfriend was 7 years, and he was wonderful. And I was married 18 years to another man.
Right.
So I now that I know the difference between having sex and making love, because I am a recovering alcoholic.
Right.
And I did black out in the old days, and I am sober 44 years.
That's
but
amazing.
But I was very prone to sex.
Right.
I just wasn't there.
So
I was blacked out.
That's an interesting question. So
So my body was running loose.
Right.
I was purely hedonistic.
Right. Your body was on fire, but your mind was blank.
I wasn't recording data.
Right.
I wasn't making love.
Right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I now know at 80 how to make love.
I see.
And I want you to understand that when you make love, it is such a composite of skills and feelings and thoughts and appreciations that there is no reason to not make love.
Right.
Here's what they say about older people. Yes, you young ones, you can do it all night.
Right.
We may take all night to do it.
To do it, right. Well, that's an interesting question that leads me to foreplay. Now, we have a gal here who's sent a message in who says, our sex life was dying.
What?
Our lovemaking was dying.
Yes, it is.
And she said, so I wanted to...
And you know what? The more women act like men, the more infertile they get.
Right.
And the more they make love to their machinery than to men.
Right. They're battery-operated boyfriends. But yes. She's saying she wanted foreplay. She wanted foreplay and she wanted afterplay. So she decided to take a different tactic. And
to do a what?
To take a different tactic.
Oh, yeah. What did she do?
She started sending him sweet nothings on his text message.
I got news for you. There are more girls today with penises, and there are more boys with vaginas.
And that brings me to another point. We were talking last week or the week before about a shift or andropause.
Yes, andropause is men's menopause.
And, of course, menopause, which changes...
the chemistry.
Right. So how does that work with sex?
With sex.
Or with making love.
Now, making love.
Let's go sex first. How does that work with sex?
With sex, menopause and andropause, oh, my vagina's drying up, oh, my penis doesn't work. See, when you're hedonistic and you're trying to be sexual, growing old is the worst.
Right.
Got it? And you're really depressed. And you're going to plastic surgeons, and God awful knows who you're going to.
Right.
When, if you're making love, you're wise, you are loving, you attract people, and you share the experience.
So even when those two biochemicals are shifting, it doesn't matter.
The chemicals are shifting from he's more sensitive now, and she needs to be less disrespectful, and she's more respectable now, and she has got to be respected for that fact. You know, like when an older couple, I used to laugh, an older couple go and sit in a restaurant and the bill comes, they automatically give it to the man.
Right.
Except that it might have been my turn to be giving to my man, who's also my woman.
Ah, okay.
You see, when you get 45 to 50, you become both male and female.
Right.
Men have masculine bodies that work like a charm sexually for those 40 years.
Right.
Women have this wonderful body that is gushing estrogen and waiting to bond to some wonderful man, but inadvertently, that poor woman goes for sex. Men cannot fall in love when they receive.
Okay, well, that's interesting. We were talking about bonding. Young, you know, you were saying when you have sex, you run that risk for young women of bonding, inadvertently bonding, because...
And that's a two-year trip.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about detoxing from that. How do you detox from something like that?
One of two ways. One way is to take the 2 years and not taste, touch, smell, see, or hear the man you're in love with. Do you see?
Right, yes.
Or date everything that moves and isn't in a police uniform.
Okay. So that bonding chemical is incredibly strong.
Oxytocin. Oxytocin is a super glue at the short hair site.
Okay.
So young women and older men are subject to the laws of oxytocin.
Okay.
Young men and older women are not.
Okay.
So younger men are more predisposed to casual sex, and older women and their toy boys.
Is this where you get the whole, the cougar?
Yes, this is a cougar.
The cougar relationship.
Yeah. And a lot of mature women, Madonna, J-Lo, they have their young men. Young men are great sex partners.
Right.
But you don't particularly build a family with them.
Right.
But young women, the best divorce statistics are a woman who's 15 years younger than her husband. Because he, oftentimes, is now in his feminine.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Oh, she's marrying a daddy figure. No, 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 no. She's marrying a wise man who knows how to make love, or she wouldn't marry him.
Ah, now that is a different spin on that.
And I mean, for you.
I've seen that occur, and
yes.
I have to be honest, I was puzzled by it. But now that you say it that way, that seems quite clear.
Totally.
It seems really clear. It's
yes.
It's an eye-opener. What happens, here we have a caller. She's saying that she feels like, hold on, she's typing. She feels like she's losing interest, but they have children. And she doesn't understand how come she's unbonding, being in his proximity. How is that possible?
Well, either she's done the arranged marriage.
Right.
Or she's done, the kid is valuable and I want to stay as long as I can because we have kids and we want to keep the family together, the covenant relationship.
Okay.
Or she's reading too many sex novels and looking at too many movies and too much stuff on TV that touts the benefit of sex.
So,
I have a technique. It's called a 218.
Okay.
You know, I don't know whether all of our listeners know what a 69 is.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they do, but yeah.
I'm going to give you a new one.
Okay.
It's called a 218.
Okay.
So a 218 is in my book, Getting to I Do. It's a page in my book.
Okay.
And it's a sensate focusing technique, you know, Masters and Johnson and all
right.
that good stuff. But here's the direction. Set aside 1 to 2 hours where you lock the doors and you don't, you know, maybe it's the middle of the night and the kids are asleep.
Right.
And you either get in the jacuzzi or you get in a shower or you get in a bathtub, but it's got to be amniotic fluid.
Okay.
It's got to be water. Hydrotherapy.
Hydro.
But here's what you do. You must service each other. And you start out with every sense, taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. You've got to feed each other grapes, you know, bananas.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
But you can't talk. You don't talk at all.
Oh.
You can only do hand and body motions.
Okay.
You have music. I like Paul Horn, a flutist, in the Cheops Pyramid. Ooh.
Fantastic. Okay. That's beautiful. So
okay.
What else?
Nonverbal music. incense for the smell.
Okay.
Candles for the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you have to wash each other, dry each other, massage each other, and maybe have intercourse. See, I consider everything except intercourse sexual foreplay.
Okay.
Everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear is sexual.
Yes.
You see?
I agree.
So, if it comes down to, and you haven't had intercourse in a long time, I don't care if you don't have it, because what you're doing is desensitizing the body, getting the dendrites up in your brain, rewiring. Norman Doidge's new book, The Healing Brain, How the Brain Heals Itself.
Right.
So what I want to do is get those dendrites back up to snuff so that you can do the electricity of stimulation.
Okay.
So taste, touch, smell, see, and hear, period, and make love, right?
Right, but no talking,
but
no speaking.
No talking. Then have a pad of paper and a pencil, and you write a letter to your partner.
Oh.
Then you exchange and write a letter back to the letter.
Oh, okay.
Then you talk.
Ah, now this is a 218.
What?
This is a 218.
This is page 218 in my book.
Getting to I Do.
Right.
And you can
so
find...
I'm getting it euphemistically. I'm going to package it like 69.
Like 69. So you can find our delightful book, Getting to I Do, at www.wantistore.com. So, Dr. Allen, you have lots of great books.
Yeah, I've got Staying Married and Loving It.
Yeah, and you have a lot of great DVDs, and one of your new one is Communication, Compatibility,
and Chemistry.
So
that's a Freudian slip, you know.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a great set. I really do. Do you go over your tools and everything in that set?
In which book?
In the DVDs.
In the DVDs,
yes. In your DVD set, okay.
I do. I have the under 51. That's Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. That's for the young studs and the young maidens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I've got the 45 to 50 and on up.
Right.
And that's in the over 50 relationship.
Okay. Now, we have another email, and she says that she wants to understand how somebody can use sex as a tool or a weapon. She said, my mate will say, if you do this or you do that, then maybe I'll make love to you.
What kind of prostitution?
Okay,
what kind of a
relationship would you categorize that? I don't know if that's healthy.
Generally, it's one built on status and financial stability. Women, this is the study that Harvard did, that women mate and marry not for sex and sensuous. There
right.
are masculine women who do that.
Okay.
See, we're all trying to get laid or paid when we mate or marry.
Right.
All of us. Okay?
Yeah.
So if we want to get paid, that comes with the government standard proposal.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. otherwise you don't have any divorce rights.
Right.
Okay, or separation or custody or whatever else. Now, that's that one. Then we have the compatibility thing.
Right.
Right. But when it comes to sex, status and financial stability is what people do when they're hedonistic.
All right.
So men mate, the Harvard did the study, men mate for sensual and sexual stability. So he says to her, if you do this, I'll buy you that house. If
right.
you let me have lovers, I'll do this.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Right.
And women then have to decide. Men mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability.
Okay.
Women mate and marry two-thirds of the time, these.
Right.
A mate and marry for status.
Right.
And financial stability. One-third of men mate and marry for status and financial stability. They're called gigolos.
Ah.
One-third of women mate and marry for sensual and sexual. That's cougars.
Okay. Okay, that's very interesting. So, our next email says, he says he wants a lady outside, and he wants a whore in the bedroom.
There's a song.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of that song? It was done in... It's a hippie song.
Oh, a hippie
behind
song.
Behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Pride.
What?
Charlie Pride.
Behind closed doors is a perfect song about the combination of sex and making love.
Okay, and so she's saying, I don't mind it, she said, but then sometimes my friends say that makes you cheap.
Didn't I say prostitute?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to say something that will probably get us thrown off the air.
We are on internet radio, so we're okay. Clear. You're clear to go. No FCC.
Anyway, pretty much the only difference between a legal wife, right, and a prostitute is a prostitute doesn't have to do laundry.
No house cleaning. Oh, that's true.
They're pretty much the same job.
Right.
Unless you're making love.
Right. And then there's a shift. There's a
shift.
That
makes it the spiritual.
Right. And it's, like you said, building a life together.
It's building whatever you're building, a building a family. There are people get together. Do you realize that arranged marriages are more successful than romantic ones?
Is that because they... Just have that expectation?
Because the families have already evaluated the compatibility factor.
Oh. What happens when there's no chemistry?
They stay together because bodies are bodies and they still tend when they're young. Remember,
these are young people.
They will have sex with whomever's there. But if it lucks out, they will fall in love.
So, is that chemistry? Falling in love, is that chemistry if it's an arranged marriage like that?
No, it's just a style.
Okay.
The Western culture is very much into romance.
So, it's a cultural thing in the United States for us to be romantic. But, you know, I mean...
But our divorce rate shows the danger of it.
It shows there's a problem.
Because what we're doing is we're going for the... infatuation of sexuality and not realize we're built for diversification.
So do you think there's a specific culture that has more successful marriages and relationships?
Successful or more fun?
Have longevity.
It's an accidental.
Okay.
So that families that build marriages are nuclear families.
Right.
And that means there's either a religion or a governmental or some kind of unifying concept that everybody in that nuclear family honors.
Okay.
And so they do it that way. That is not America.
Yeah.
We believe in romance and in cellular attraction. I like you, you like me, well, at least for 3 years. Or, my God, we're in love, and we can go till the end of the game.
Right, till the end of time.
Cellular families, they visit together at Christmas and Thanksgiving, but they don't have the nuclear tie. The best part of a nuclear family is there is a central business couple, maybe it's dad, maybe it's mom, grandpa. It may be an older sister, but it could be anybody. But that person carries the family code of ethics and morals down through the generations.
Something
through that one.
Something that we might refer to as a matriarch or a patriarch.
It's a matriarch or a patriarch, but I have seen it happen. An older son, an older daughter. Do you see?
Yeah.
Somebody not necessarily mom and dad. It can be a kid.
It's interesting is because my perception of that was when my grandfather passed away, the family, my family, my whole nuclear family sort of began to drift apart.
They drifted
at
into
sea.
Cellular.
Yeah.
No one took over.
Right. Nobody stepped in.
When you have a cellular family, individuality, that's why we in America, we're creative. We're out there doing good things and bad things all the time.
Right.
We were started by a boatload of crooks, you know, literally thrown out of England.
Rebels, right.
Yeah. So we're still doing it. We're still cellular. We're still creating good things and bad things. Toynbee, who was a historian, said everything is cyclical.
Right.
It's going to keep going through it. So if you're a nuclear person and you're attracted to a cellular person, there's going to be war.
Oh, I get that. That I understand.
You see that?
So let's talk about the law of attraction.
Well, that's chemistry.
Yeah. But so how do you, you were talking before about attracting, flirting, the 5-second flirt.
Yes, it's called eye contact. Jerky men, drunks and nerds, will approach anybody. Hi, my name is George, and I don't want to make love to you. Do you
yes,
see what I mean?
I do. It's fantastic. I like that invitation.
But a gentleman is grounded in his anima soul.
Okay.
Which is his spiritual values. Okay?
Right.
He's a gentle man.
Gentle man.
That man needs to see your eyes.
Okay.
You see?
Right.
When he looks into your eyes, he can see your vulnerability. He can see your toughness.
Right.
He can see your anger.
So he can see your soul.
He can see your soul. That is so true. In fact, we're going to do IDs according to eyeballs.
Yes.
That's coming about.
So
fingerprints? No.
No.
Eyeballs.
Eyeballs.
You can burn a finger, but you better not burn an eyeball.
Right.
Deep yogurt.
Yeah, you're going to be in some major trouble. So when women detox from a mate,
yeah,
it's detox from oxytocin.
Yes. Well, and older men have to do it too.
Is it oxytocin also?
Of course it's oxytocin.
Okay.
See, we all have our genetically dispersed progesterone, testosterone, you know, estrogen. We all have it.
Right.
And at different times in our life, young men, 19 is the peak of testosterone.
Right. Okay? I remember that. I remember that.
And for women, you know, that's the peak of estrogen and vulnerability, and that's why they're out there. And I want you to remember that between 13 and 18, those young bodies do not produce dopamine like they did when they were younger.
Right.
And how they will later on when they get married or do things that produce dopamine.
Right.
They need to get, they're being chased out of the house. Dan Siegel has a book, and it's called Brainstorms.
Right.
And it's about why teenagers act like nuts. They're trying to get dopamine into their body because it's boring.
So dopamine is that
pleasure. That's the
pleasure. The
upper.
Right. So, which is why a lot of people like to do other things like
right,
roller coasters, driving
oh,
too fast.
Skydiving. George Bush Sr., who's a left-hander,
right,
he's jumping on airplanes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Perfectly good airplane. Why would you jump out of it?
Right.
So what is the... So dopamine, like, okay, so I'm 50.
Yeah.
What is producing dopamine in me now?
Dopamine for you now is how to manipulate a man into making love to you.
Okay. And for a 20-year-old?
For a 20-year-old woman?
Yeah.
For a 20-year-old woman is no casual sex.
Okay.
You may end up bonded to him for 2 solid years.
Yeah.
And every other male will look and act like a dog to you.
And what about an older man, dopamine for him?
Dopamine for him is being loved by a woman who loves him. Older men and younger women build second families.
Right.
Very commonly.
Right.
But I want to remind you that if an older man goes with a hard-body younger woman who doesn't really love him, he runs the risk of the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack.
Okay, now, people made fun of that in years before, but that's actually been documented.
The broken-hearted syndrome.
Right. And it can actually cause real heart attacks.
Betrayal. Yeah, betrayal.
Betrayal. So
somebody dies that you love. Somebody divorces.
Right.
Somebody cons you, steals, robs you. The lower chamber of your heart fills up with fluid, and it throws the heart off. And this happens within a week of having been betrayed. It's like they had a heart attack because of...
of the betrayal. So if somebody made it past that point, they would
be... directly to an emergency ward.
Okay. Now, how does that work? I mean, if you get past that first week...
the heart heals itself. It's
okay.
You adjust.
So you, yeah, so it's...
if you live through the stress of that particular phenomenon.
Right. That, whatever that betrayal may be.
Whatever it is.
Right.
It's a massive shock to your nervous system.
Which causes depression, anxiety, cortisol.
Yep. Totally, yep.
And all of those things that are tearing us apart and killing us.
Right.
So, we have one more email, and this is from a gentleman.
What is it?
He says, I love my wife. I'm having an affair with my secretary, and I don't know what to do about it because I don't know who I want to be with.
He wants to be with every woman he can herd together under his control.
How does that work, Dr. Allen? I mean, is that just pure insanity?
We are not monogamous animals.
Right, we're not. I understand that.
And particularly men with money attract women with sexual beauty, right?
Right.
Or ugly men with money attract wonderfully beautiful women, and we wonder what she sees in him, and it's called M-O-N-E-Y.
Okay.
And as long as the body holds up and the money holds up, they have sex.
Okay. Now then, in one of your books, you talk about women pick with...
their ears.
Their ears. And men pick with their eyes.
Yes.
That's for young, middle-aged, old, everybody?
Generally speaking, masculine young women pick with their eyes.
Okay.
They want a trophy good-looking guy. But those guys, unless they're European, Asian, or Japanese or something, they weren't raised to be men. You see, we're a matriarchal society.
Right.
And so I raised my 4 daughters on 5 horses, and we call those proud cuts.
Uh-huh.
One ball's there and one ball's gone.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
So they stamp around, but they don't kill you like a stallion.
Right.
You see?
Right. They're
not... you have no idea when my daughter had a gorgeous young 2-year-old, but she had to be 18 to let it be a stallion.
Right. And, yeah, okay.
And he made the cut.
So, Dr. Allen, we're about out of time, but what can you tell me in closing about the difference between making love, having sex, and what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing?
Making love is honoring the chemistry you have to want to touch and kiss the person you're with, and you are building a life that includes friends, relatives, business, and you're communicating with respect and cherishing. I think, darling, how do you feel about it? I don't feel good about this, honey. What do you think about this? Good communication. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. People who have sex, their benefit is a temporary shot of dopamine. People who make love have a lifetime of sensual, sexual, intellectual, spiritual pleasure.
Fantastic. Thank you all for coming. You can find us at www.drpatallen.com. You can find our products at www.iwantstore.com and find us on Facebook and Twitter. Have a great night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.